I just built a 3-acre pond. It's kind of like a lake. It's stocked full of fish. I'm putting a massive water filter, enough. It'll filter enough water for, I don't know, several. It'll filter the whole pond if I wanted to.
Are you also building a 3-acre lake to stock with fish in your backyard? Well, before you do, dig a little hole at the bottom of the foundation of that lake and put a dirty man safe in it. It's also waterproof. Or if you don't want to do that, just dig a hole somewhere and put your dirty man safe in it. It can store up to $1 million in gold bullion at today's prices. Use the discount code NGAME10 for 10% off and check the link at the bottom in the description. And you'll also get 10 free coin holders with your order. Endgame 10 at checkout and support the endgame investor and be a prepper at the bottom of a lake, etc.
Hey guys, Raf here from the Endgame Investor, and I got Phil with me conducting this wonderful interview with financial prepper Chris from Louisiana. And I'm just going to make a few introductory comments and then we'll get to it. I just wanted to say that I consider myself a financial prepper, but I didn't call myself that. I called myself the Endgame Investor. But there one sometimes I've gone on some prepping shows. Canadian Prepper is one of them. And I get a lot of comments kind of deriding us financial preppers. And I know you're more of a bona fide prepper than just a financial prepper. I understand that. And they don't re I think what gets lost in the mix is that the only thing that prevents society from really breaking down and every man for himself and Mad Max sort of thing is the fact that money exists. Because we've determined as a species that it's more efficient and better, and we'd have a better chance of surviving if we just trade rather than kill each other. And then we get into groups where the leader of our group says, invites us into his group and says, "Well, what can you trade?" And we still need money to trade with our own group, and then we can make bigger and bigger groups, and eventually we have a civilization. But that's only because of money. So eventually our money derivatives are going to break down, like the fake money is going to break down, and everyone with fake money but no real money will suddenly be kicked out of the division of labor. And the problem is, if you have too many people kicked out of the division of labor, they start killing each other. So the way to prevent a zombie apocalypse and to prevent society from breaking down is to make sure that enough people have enough real money so that they can keep trading and not kill each other. And that's where our communities, I think, should understand that we meet and you take care of more of the finer details of how to amass resources and stay out of the Mad Max scenario, even if it were to sort to introduce itself even briefly, would be dangerous enough. And we don't see it that a lot of financial preppers don't see it that way. But what we're really trying to do is make the whatever zombie apocalypse ends up formulating itself as short and as mild as possible by making sure the maximum amount of people have as much money as they can get, which means gold and silver. And anything very, very close to the bottom of the pyramid around there. So, Chris, thanks for coming on. And Phil, I'll let you take over from here.
Wonderful. So I was originally quite skeptic of prepping. I wasn't horribly skeptic of prepping. I wasn't like, these people are dumb. I was thinking these people are possibly wasting their resources, but it even in the best case, sort of overly preparing. Like, maybe a few weeks of canned goods is a good idea, but a stocked lake in your back property is a bit of an overkill, So I never, and this is all pre-COVID. So when COVID hit and I realized something was wrong, and I've covered this on both your channels, I started investigating, and that led me to Rafi. And Rafi said the magic words that mean probably nothing to you, Chris, which was Misesian and monetary regression, but that turned my blood to ice. And then I started watching, then I started avidly watching prepping channels. then I discovered you and started watching you, and I said, okay, this guy, he definitely has some great ideas. And what intrigues me about you, Chris, is that you, like Rafi and I, are Austrian school educated. You're mostly instinctual, I think. You came to the same conclusions we did, but through more just looking at the world around you and saying, well, this is what I think I should do. So I'm curious, what made you start prepping? When did you start prepping? And what made you start a YouTube channel about prepping?
Okay, so going back to what Rafi said, oh, and by the way, thanks for having me on.
Welcome.
So you talked about financial prepping, and that's what I say on my channel all the time is if we can keep the good people that make this place what it is from being part of the problem, hedging their wealth in precious metals, or maybe prepping, or if you're broke and you don't have any food, you can't really help anybody, right? So that was the whole thing on the financial side going into it that I thought of was that's exactly right. It's going to be a community, and a community that knows what real money is. And how did I get there? Well, I started buying rental properties, and it's one of those things that I always wanted to do, and it's hard to get up the nerve to do it. And we bought one and then two and then three, and I learned how to do it with zero money down. They were paying me at the closing table. It was great. We were just, I did six in a year and a half, and my plan was to have 100 doors. But as you get into investing and buying assets that, things that pay you to own them, and you're starting to have your own balance sheet, your assets and your liabilities, and you figure out what you're worth, and you start to kind of pay attention to interest rates. Well, what happens when interest rates go up? The bank says I can get a, an ARM loan. Should I do that? And you start seeing what the wealthy and I'm talking the mucho wealthy are really watching. And you start watching that, and it's like, okay, I need to start paying attention to inflation a little bit better. I've always had precious metals. I just knew that was money. My grandfather taught me that, and my mother's a fine jeweler. She makes fine jewelry for 40 years. And so as I started paying attention to all of those things, we started seeing crazy stuff happen in 2020. We started seeing people not having to pay rent. So I started going down the rabbit hole of what happens when inflation gets worse. And it's easier to understand what to do if you make the problem much bigger. So what happens if a man's paycheck goes to food instead of rent? Where's the threshold on that? And it's usually about 30 to 40%. If 30 to 40% of a man's paycheck goes towards food, the landlord is the very first person to get stiffed. He's the person that doesn't get paid. So, knowing that, I thought, well, it's probably time to start thinking about selling. Well, how do I know when to sell it? Well, the only way I really know is when prices are high, right? Real estate was expensive, so I started selling the rental properties that I just purchased. But there's an old saying, a quick nickel is better than a slow dime, if you've heard that one or not. So far, it's been good. The YouTube channel, I started running around going from not really going anywhere, just working around here, to probably two or three times a year going to the Rebel Capitalist Live in Miami. I went and met George Gammon, actually hung out with him in his condo for till 3 in the morning, talking about everything that we all talk about, and met Mark Moss and hung out with Robert Kiyosaki a little bit, and just people that that are like us, for the most part. And you just start to learn and start to really start to see what's coming, and we're talking some major. Major changes in our life. Like what we're going into, nobody has ever lived through what we are looking straight in the eyes right now. And there's a ton of recency bias. It's always been this way. It'll always be that way. But I'm telling you, things are changing fast. And It's hard. People have scales on their eyes and they can't see. Most people can't see what's coming until it's too late. And that's the people that I feel for the most because they're waking up every day. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Have you noticed the amount of people that have woken up in the last year or two?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I'm in a
Is
different
it the
reality, so
same?
I haven't seen as much, but I'm noticing noticing other subtle things. But here we've gone from one insanity to the next, so it's hard for me to even separate them.
Well, it's not like everyone suddenly wakes up and they understand Rothbard fully. It's that people just realize it's almost like a blind panic already. People know something's wrong and they don't know which way to go. And that's part of why I started my channel, as I said. The main reason I started my channel is because I was talking my wife to death. Like I was just telling her the same things over and over. She's like, I understand, I'm on the same page. So, and I was like, but I have to like process this in my head, and I want to talk to other people about it. So I was like, I'm going to form a channel, and we'll start talking to other people too. But I do notice that there's a lot of people with they know something's wrong, they just don't know which direction to go in. And there's a lot of people offering a lot of different ideas, and that's fine. It's the mar I'm not objecting to that. That's the marketplace of ideas. I would never say, hypothetically, I'm just picking a name out of a hat. Someone like Brent Johnson with his dollar milkshake. I would never say don't listen to him. I don't think he's correct, but I would never say don't listen to him. Listen to him, listen to me, listen to Rafi, listen to you, and make your own conclusions to all viewers.
Man, that's perfect. That's the thing. Come up with your own convictions. That way, you don't, there's nobody to blame but you. You got to, and if
That's
you
very
don't have the
true.
conviction, you're not going to hold on to your decision. These people, they get too heavy in precious metals and the price goes down, so they sell it at low prices. You know,
Did you
they
have?
don't have what it takes.
Yeah, I had a private conversation with you where it sounded like you had just spoken to somebody. It sounded like you had spoken to somebody who you they had watched your show and went really heavy into precious metals, and then there was a dip, and they sold some off, and apparently they were yelling at you or something. Did that happen?
No, nobody's yelled
It
at me
wasn't
because
like that? Oh,
I'm
okay.
pretty straightforward about that. But I have people talk, call me and say, "Hey, I want to buy. I just ran into some money and I want to put it all in precious metals." Like, well, that's fine. Whatever you want to do, but first, what's your situation? What's your financial situation? Well, I've got $20,000 worth of credit card debt. Pay that off first, not financial advice. That's just what you should do. But no, wait, I can buy precious metals and then it'll double and then I can pay it off and I'll have, that's what I see mostly the gambler mentality that I'm sure we've all fell victim to some type of that, right?
Well, inflation fuels that. It makes people much worse at calculating how to balance their incomes and stuff. And when people don't, what I caution my viewers just about every episode, I said there's probably going to be some period of deflation before the hyperinflation. And you're going to see, I mean, that's going to be hard because you're going to see your metals positions go down with everything else. And silver, especially, might go down harder than many other things. So you need to have the logical foundation and the spine of titanium to sit through that part, because that's going to test, that will test the soul of any man.
Right. There's two ways to look at it, and this is what I tell my subscribers, that you can either look at you can either use precious metals to make more dollars, which is the gambler, or you can use your dollars to stack more precious metals, which are money. Like those are opposite ways of looking at it. I'm not against using precious metals to make more dollars if you want to do that on the side with some trading and gambling. That's fine, but you have to know that it's an addictive, and it's a trapping. It traps you, just like any gambling addiction will do. And if you can handle it and you could do it responsibly, do it. But that's not what I'm about.
I'm actually short gold right now.
There you
Wow.
go.
I
Well.
shorted it at 22,033,33. And it's just that's watching the market so much. It never goes up in a straight line. So it's got these areas where it likes to turn around and there are imbalances in the market. I trade it. But I don't trade my precious metals that are physical. That's a hedge. It's an insurance policy. You have insurance on your health, your cars, your everything else. Why not have it on your wealth? It just sits there and it hangs out. it's up to you to come up with the right conviction, whatever you, what percentage you want to come put into precious metals, what, how bad do you think it's going to get? That's up to you. But as far as, gambling with it, I could care less about going to the casino. Everything, if you want to gamble, just open up TradingView and buy some stocks, man, because it is a gamble. I would like to get your opinion before we get off here about the melt up. Do either of you have a opinion about melt up? We can do it after you interview
Melt up,
me,
you mean
but
the
I,
crack up boom?
the crack up, boom, melt up, whatever you want to talk, whatever
Well,
you want to call
it's
it.
almost certainly an inevitability. In fact, I would say it certainly is an inevitability. What's
Yeah.
your specific question on it?
I'm just trying to get people's layout. What are they, we have a deflationary event, and then they make QE of some type, whatever it be. You can call it money printing if you want to, but it could be whatever. And that money runs into the stock market, and we have the best performing stock market, kind of like Venezuela, kind of like all the other countries that had hyperinflation.
The difference between this one and the previous ones, if this is indeed the end game, is that consumer prices, the money is going to be helicoptered out directly, and the consumer prices are going to go up probably faster than the stock market. So, in fact, I would say yes, definitely faster than the stock market. So, everyone's, especially in the initial stages, people are going to notice their saving, their nominal savings going way up in the stock market. But every day they go to the store, the prices are getting worse and worse and worse. And at some point, people are going to be taking emergency, cashing in their 401ks, doing emergency loans, all that kind of stuff, just to make the ends meet. And this is going to be en masse. And this is when the government comes in and starts instituting capital controls, trying to control the inflation. So they say you can only withdraw, $10,000 a month, but dinner at Outback is $5,000 at this point. I mean, this is when the craziness starts happening. So it is the final. In some ways, it's still euphoric because the numbers are still going up and people don't quite realize it until the end that they're like completely wiped out. But it is definitely like the end of a crack binge. It's like the very end when you're really strung out, and there is a little bit of euphoria in there, but it's also mixed with a real desperation. So the people that have the house and the swimming pool and the two cars that they could never really afford, but they got it through debt, and they're swimming in it, and the waves are overtaking them, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and their kids are wondering, why are we only having two meals a day now? Why is summer camp no longer happening? All these things are building up, and it comes to a blow off top. Rafi?
So I'll just add that that on a longer term view, right, it can feel like if you're invested in stocks that you're really outpacing inflation, because you log into your brokerage, you see a certain dollar amount, you imagine in your head what real wealth I could acquire with all those dollars, and then you're rich in your mind. And maybe you're also rich in your emotions because you have this padded brokerage account of the stocks that you own. So if you have a big bill, big doctor's bill, tragedy in your family, whatever, you can always pay for it, and because that number is still there on the screen of your computer, right? But if you look back in real terms, from 1971, when the last link to gold was officially severed, gold is outperforming stocks, right? If in 1971 you had bought 100 ounces of gold for $3,500, and or you'd bought $3,500 worth of stocks, you would be up more in gold now, which means that the entire bull market run from 1971, including all the little bear pullbacks from since then, is it's all an illusion, which means that the hyperinflation that's to come is going to get rid of the rest of it. So it's really like people think they're outpacing it with stocks, but they're really not. I mean, some people who get off at the high point from some luck or whatever, they really do win out. I'm not saying there aren't winners in the inflationary system. There always are. But as a society, Americans are much poorer now than they were in 1971, and they continue to be that way. And it's hard to even realize it because technology makes lives easier in some ways and very much harder in other ways, because disconnects us from each other and it makes us feel less human. So I mean, there's a lot of countervailing forces here, but in the end, we're all worse off right now.
And they
Yeah.
had,
Okay.
and you would have zero third party risk. You know, you would, if you had had precious metals, it would have just been at your disposal. You could have done anything you want to. It wouldn't be the government trying to tax unrealized gains on the stock market. You know, it's crazy. It just made sense to me.
The government does tax, at least in America, the government does tax gold, the physical gold bullion. I don't know how
Not when you
much on
buy it.
the system. You know, I don't know if you take it to, I've never gone to a coin shop to sell gold or anything, so I don't know if there's like reported somewhere, if it's on our system that you have to report that on
If when
tax.
you see, it goes by states, certain states. My wife's a broker for Miles Franklin,
Okay.
and see, certain states, there's a tax when you buy it, but it depends on where you have it delivered. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And when you sell it, if you sell it to Joe Bob down the road, then you know that's the way that works. But yeah, you're right. I'm sure they're trying to tax everything.
They will try and tax everything. Now, I do want to say this is one thing. Taxes completely break down in a hyperinflation because you can just, you know, no matter what the tax rate is, if you can just delay it hours, a couple days, then you can go out in the street and pick up the notes you need to pay whatever tax. And they're not even they're really not going to even try because it's worthless to them too. They, you know, the IRS is not going to care. Doesn't care many worthless notes because the entire all the juice they're getting is from the print. So they're just printing at this accelerating rate to try and get the last juice out of the lemon before they have to admit that it was all fake.
Right.
I have
That's
a.
sorry.
Go
Go.
ahead. Please go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's exactly what happened in Israel in 1984. They just stopped collecting mortgages. The banks stopped collecting more payments on mortgages, and they reset to the dollar and changed monetary policy, and the whole housing market and everything else just started over. I don't even know how the society survived it, but they did.
Yeah,
Anyway.
did. So let me ask you this. Did they, because this is very curious to me, did whoever is living in the house, they get to keep the house?
I don't know exactly. I don't know what happens.
Because I would, I mean, what will happen if they let it play it out is that, you know, a cabbage costs $400 trillion, so you just you take $400,000 and pay off your house or whatever it is and pay off your house loan. But if they don't let that happen, I don't they're gonna have to do something. I don't know.
Yeah,
Either they have
I have
to
to look into
revalue
that
the
era
new.
more. I don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I know it was a tumultuous year, but somehow they got through it. The country got through it, and somehow the rest of the world will get through this end game too.
I do know in Weimar, when they reestablished the currency with one that worked the Rentenmark, I don't know exactly how they did it, but they reactivated some of the old loans in the new money. They said you owe something like 10 or 20% of whatever the old loan was in the new money, and they had some formula because people had basically gotten a bunch of property. You know, they'd loan money, gotten property, and then paid it off with hyperinflated notes. And so they whatever the compromise was, they came back with that no, you actually do owe these landlords, or you know, you owe the banks some amount of the new currency. For this, I don't personally consider it fair. I think they should have been able to walk away the property, but
Well, we'll see what happens this time.
yeah, it's
Chris, what were
true.
you going to say before?
They change the rules as they go. And as you're talking about that, two things. How many ounces of gold did it take to buy a house 1930s compared to how many ounces of gold it take to buy a house now? That ratio is really cool. There's a good chance you'll be able to buy a house with a very little amount of gold in the future. But that brings me to the main question was, we talked about they're going to tax everything, right? That's you know, death and taxes, the two things that are for sure. What about the CBDC and taxing gold? If the CBDC is the currency that we are forced to use, the 1984 Orwellian tool of the mother of all tools in their toolbox would be the CBDC, right? They can control everything, how much you get, how much meat you have. They can shut your bank off. They can do whatever, tax you, even if you have paid your taxes because they say you didn't, whatever. What if you got to sell your gold for CBDC and the tax is 80%? Is that not par on what they've done in the past?
Well, we're not, I'll let Phil answer this, but we're not so worried about CBDCs because essentially what they are is complete price control of everything. And price controls always fail. So therefore, a CBDC will always fail too by transitive property. They can force you to use a currency. They can't force you to value it at any amount. They can say use this currency and then it goes to zero and then people just stop using it because otherwise they'll starve to death and they use something else and the government can't do anything about it. So
Correct.
there's no such thing as absolute control. It's impossible.
So I just did a video on this on my channel. The way I think about looking at it is, imagine you go to the store and you want to buy some meat, and your CBDC beeps at you and says, no, no meat. You've gotten your month's ration. You can get some cricket powder over there, but no meat for you. So you go to the owner of the store. By the way, the meat has an expiration date. The guy needs to sell it. So you go to the owner of the store. You say, look, my CBDC is beeping at me. Can I just give you some silver for this prime rib? Now, the owner of the store, he likes to drink. He likes his whiskey. So, but when he goes to the alcohol beverage store, his CBDC beeps at him. Beep, 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 beep. You've had way too much to drink. Government doesn't like that. So he said, you know what? I will take your silver because I can't buy the liquor with my CBDC either. And so there's a quick workaround, which is just trading in the most liquid commodity, which is silver. And then additionally, what are people going to do with this currency? They're going to turn it into things they can buy as fast as possible. So I can't buy the meat, but I can buy, let's say, corn. So I'll go buy 100 ears of corn and then go and try it. I'll, can
Trade
it,
those, yeah.
turn it into, I'll can it, dry it, sell it, whatever, trade it for something else, whatever. And when everyone does that, the price in all goods skyrockets, which is a hyperinflation because it's people dumping the currency. So either and if they just shut it down, then people will just abandon the currency outright. They'll say, well, I cannot access it. I see this number on a screen, but I can buy literally nothing with it. It's like when they shut down the bank accounts in Lebanon, right? You go to the ATM, it says you have $10,000 in your bank account, can't withdraw it. You can get mad about it, but you can't get the money out. So what do? Well, you just write it off. Eventually, people just write it off. So these are the things, and they're not gonna, I'm not gonna take payment in a CBDC that I can't spend, that no one will take. Why would I take payment in that? I'm gonna say no, pay me in something else when I go to my job. I'll say I want payment in something else. I don't want payment in the CBDC. So all these things will
Well,
lead to the collapse of the CBDC. Not to mention, if the CBDC is not gold, the only way this would work, this the only way the CBDC would even take hold is if it's gold backed. If the CBDC is not gold backed, then it's just going to die when the dollar dies, because the dollar itself will be the only reason they're trying to bring in a CBDC is because the dollar's dying. So when the dollar's dead, the CBDC will be dead as well, unless
it's
it's
the
gold.
Hail Mary, right?
It
It's the
is
Hail
Hail Mary.
Mary pass for the dollar.
The people that are in
There's
charge right now
some
are
things you.
really dumb. Like they're really dumb. Like, watch, what's that guy, Bernstein, the
I
head
think
of
they're evil.
Biden's economics advisor? And they asked, how does it work?
Oh,
And he's like,
Jared
oh,
Bernstein, right.
yeah, Jared Bernstein. They might think this would work and they might try it, but it's not going to work. The currency's going to collapse. So I'm not worried about the hyperinflation, about the CBD. I'm worried about the hyperinflation. I'm not worried about the CBDC. I'm more worried about a Mad Max scenario. You and I have talked about that before, Chris, which is, the
Now, we're entering the Thunderdome, but there's a one
Thunderdome.
thing that you didn't mention in the story where the clerk was being paid in silver because he liked to drink, and the fines and prison time that you'll get for having precious metals. That is not uncommon. This has been going on through history over
Yes.
and over. They take from the population whatever's valuable, whatever they deem to be money, which is usually gold and silver. And if you don't do what you're told, we'll cut your head off. So that puts another, a little bit of a spin on the, and I'm right there with you guys. I'm not saying anything different. There is a few things to kind of walk through when it comes to the prepping side of things. When you kind of have a little bit of what you need to try to make it through that really weird Hail Mary CBDC time, that's going to be complicated with war and rumors of wars and fines and penalties and all this stuff when you try to do business outside in the gray areas. What Lagarde, Christine Lagarde said, you know, there's if you spend over $1,000 of euro, then you're in the gray area. You need to come back and you know, I don't know if you heard her talk about that.
Now we have in Europe this threshold above 1,000 euros, you cannot pay cash. If you do, you are on the gray market. You take your risk. You get caught, you are fined, or you go in jail.
But that's a just something to think through, which will take you over to the prepping side of things.
Well, in the free market, in the kind of scenario we're talking about, the police are going to be rather broke as well, and you will be able. I mean, assume, you know, if they want to, you know, kick down your door and go through your entire house with a metal detector and you're handcuffed or dead, you know, there's not a lot you can do in that point. However, if you're trying to make a transaction and the officer comes up, "Excuse me, sir, I can see you're trading in metal," you can potentially say, "Well, yes, I am, but I also have some extra metal if you want to pretend this never happened." Now he'll be very poor, so you know the black market. The black market and all these things will be, you know, thriving. I mean, police have been for since police were first invented, police have been taking bribes to look the other way on things.
Right. I mean, we'd have to
That's
talk
one
to a
option.
survivor of the Soviet system who went, not a survivor of the gulag, but a survivor of the economy of the Soviet system to see how it actually worked on a daily basis. You know, we haven't really been there in the US, and I haven't been that here either. But they'd have the answers to this.
And yeah, I mean,
Gulag Archipelago, that's a good one. It doesn't, that is not exactly about precious metals, but that is a wild read if you've ever been through it.
Sure. So I've read some books about North Korea. I'm just very fascinated by North Korea, and I can tell you there's a patronage system develops. So someone, I don't know if we're necessarily going to a communist state, but if we were going to a very tyrannical communist state, then you get a position in the bureau, and you use your largesse to protect your clan around you, and then it organizes that way. Now, I think we're going to go into much more of an anarchy. The American citizenry is just so heavily armed, and we there's still enough of us that are imbued with liberty that I don't see, you know, I don't see us going quietly into the good night of communism. I really, really don't.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight.
I mean, half the states will go into open rebellion.
Chris, what do you see
The
on this?
southern state.
Where do you think we're actually headed?
Man, that's something I have to think about, but I don't like thinking about.
Let me give you some optimism, Chris. I see liberty as very, I see the collapse in anarchy as very liberating. There'll be a lot of chaos and pain, but everything you hate right now, don't you? I mean, if you hate the government, you know, spying on you and trying to control your currencies and all this stuff, on a gold standard, the government must shrink by 95 to 99%. It must. They don't have, there is not enough gold to survive, for a government of this size to subsist, not even close. So you're talking about the federal government just disappearing. Now all those people are going to be unemployed.
Yeah,
We're talking about a
I
60,
don't
maybe
think that's going to
70%
happen.
unemployment rate, briefly.
I don't believe a world superpower is just going to poof. I think we're going to see, like I said, we're going to see wars. We're going to see a 21st century of Gestapo. When you talk about police, we're going to see something like 1984, where when the CBDC is introduced and it's failing, they are going to do whatever it takes. They're going to do whatever it takes to make it work, even though it's dying. And even, let's say it does die, and I'm sure it will. It seems like they're putting afterburners on a dying currency to me. But in the meantime, these things take a long time. That's what I miss. That's the biggest thing that I've learned from my journey is it's such a long process. Is real estate going to crash? Yes. When? Holy smokes. It is just on and on and on, and they drag. It's like a slow motion train wreck. And I know this, what we're talking about could take several years. It could be fast. It could be, you know, a lot of times I think through history, it's like 3 months you had to turn your currency in to get the new currency, you know, that's backed by whatever. But it's so, a go ahead.
So let's say it breaks, let's say a war starts and the currency dies. How are they gonna pay how are they gonna pay the soldiers to go off to war? How are they gonna pay for the material?
Well, do like what they always do, they print money.
But the
currency always do that. Collapse.
Do what?
The currency's collapsed. The dollar's dead. How are they going
to
pay?
Oh, but that's a good question. Eventually, they won't be able to, like Zimbabwe. You know, they Doug Casey asked him, why in the heck did you print all that money? He said, we couldn't pay our officials. We couldn't pay our military. You know, that's what how it ended up. But yeah. Then, how do we get goods from other countries if it's our, you know, we are exporters of dollars. We are importers of almost everything else.
So that is going to abruptly stop. I mean, abruptly stop. So I recommend, I don't recommend anything, but I recommend to myself, you know, keeping a year's supply of shoes and clothes.
Why specifically shoes? You want shoes? Okay.
Yeah, it'll take, well, clothes, food, everything, really. You know, it will take, there will be domestic shoe manufacturers will develop, but it will take some time.
Just funny that you're focused on shoes specifically. Okay, shoes.
Yeah. Shoes, clothes, Hawaiian shirts, you know, get a year's supply of Hawaiian shirts.
Next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Okay.
Are you a prepper at all, Ralphie? Are you, what do you do in the prepping realm?
I have chickens. So they lay eggs. I live like in the very sparsely populated area, so I'm nowhere near the urban centers of Israel, but I'm much closer to Hezbollah, so I'm being bombed every few days, which wow. I really don't mind compared to lockdowns and vaccines. This is much better. I've got some extra water. And, you know, maybe like a 5-6 month supply of canned food. It's not that much, but, so I just, I can, so in the immediate aftermath of a currency collapse, I just want to be able to stay at home and then let things happen around me and not move too much and then peek out like a few months later to see what's happening. That's my goal. I don't know if I'm just dreaming or, you know, I have a handgun. I don't know if that's going to do me any good. You know, if Hezbollah invades, I don't think it will, and I'll have to go south. There's a lot going on right now, and I'm trying to ignore it all and pay attention to it all at the same time, and it's driving me crazy.
That is wild. That's a different – I have to think through that if I was there. You know, you're there, man. That is wild. That
yeah, he's really going thinking. Through the stage more physically than we are. But I don't think – like I said, when it really breaks down, I think they're going to, like – I don't think they're going to be able to muster forces like the way you're thinking. I think that whatever combat there is going to degrade, I think, to, you know, 50 cals mounted on the back of a Toyota pickup truck driven by, you know, whoever. Now, can those people kill a lot of people? Can that be very, very violent? Absolutely. It will be, but I think it'll be localized, and I don't know where those locations will be. And like I said, Americans can return. I don't know about other countries. Americans can return fire. So, you know, you're talking about neighborhoods organizing, spontaneously organizing self-defense forces.
We're already doing that here. I mean, yeah. We already know that the army doesn't do shit when we get invaded. You know, so we have to protect ourselves. So there's already militias in cities, and I'm doing training tomorrow on getting bodies out of bombed buildings. I don't know why I'm doing it. I just, you know, people, they ask for volunteers, so I'm volunteering. And like, who knows? You can't rely on the army, so you got to rely on local militias. It's already happening here.
That's a note that everybody should write down. That's something that we need to do in the United States. Everybody should. I've been doing my best to try to know and learn my community and meet as many people as possible. And around me, there's just great people. I mean, they're really good salt of the earth people, and they all have, it's like the same concerns. They don't know what it is they're concerned about. They just know something's wrong. And that's a really good idea, man. I would participate in everything you could. And hopefully it'll be over before long.
So I'll tell you what one thing I did to just to pass the time while I'm preparing is I emailed about everybody in my neighborhood, not just physically around me. I'm talking about the countywide people that I knew, people that I vaguely knew. I said, look, I'm going to start a chat group about this exact topic, just prepping and financial prepping in general and everything. And if anyone wants to talk about that, this is the signal address. Come on in and we'll chat about it. I got about 30, 40 people. And I've helped people move millions and millions of dollars into precious metals positions. Now it's 30 people, so it's not it's spread out over a wide group. And just also get some freedom seeds, get some self-defense devices, all that stuff. So and now each of those people is a node of civilization and chaos. And as long as this keeps spreading, it's not going to be that bad. If we can get it, what are we at now for 0.5% to 1% of people are stackers? If we can get that to 2 or 3% of dispersed nodes throughout the whole world, when this thing blows, the money flows out, the assets get traded, and then and world money enters the system again, and things move on. So let me
Chris, what are you
pick up
doing?
another. Go ahead.
I just built a 3-acre pond. It's kind of like a lake. It's stocked full of fish. I'm putting a massive water filter. Enough. It'll filter enough water for. I don't know. Several. It'll filter the whole pond if I wanted to. So that's, and mainly that's for my pool, my floating swimming pool. I'm big into freedom seeds. I think they're going to double in short order. They always do. Anytime a black swan does something, that's what happens. I mean, it's just part of life. They're cheap right now, considering they were very expensive over the last couple of black swans. So that's something anybody can do. Find somebody that will ship bulk. And that's just an easy, you can protect yourself with it, you can trade with it, you can sell it. You can, I mean, it's really kind of real straightforward and simple. That's me. Straightforward, simple. I had a bunch of rental properties. I got out of those. That was really me prepping for the Thunderdome. And as when properties get cheap again, or maybe we can buy some precious metals or something like that, I'll get back into them. I still plan on, I'm with you guys. I like Phil's optimism. He's very an optimistic kind of guy. I've got food. I try to keep. I started with 2, 3 months, and then I doubled it, and then I doubled it, and I doubled it, and
You have a
now there's
dehydrator.
20, 24 chickens. I got a dehydrator, a freeze dryer.
I've watched your cooking videos. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna eat
Oh,
those pancakes. You made some weird pancakes. I
they're
wasn't.
so good, man. Those pancakes are good. Well, it's
No.
everything you need to have a bunch of energy and protein and all that. What else do we do? We stack precious metals and keep a certain percentage of our wealth in precious metals. I recommend not keeping it at your house, just because you have to figure that out on your own. And it's not smart. Grandpa taught me a long time ago, if somebody puts a gun to your head, you'll give them everything you got. That's kind of the way it is.
If you feel brave enough to ignore Chris's advice and store some of your precious metals at home or near it, then get a dirty man safe. Use code ENDGAME10 at checkout and don't tell anybody, even if they have a gun to your head.
Well, it's certainly not smart to
So
put all of it in your home, but I would say you should have some near you.
near, yeah,
Yeah.
near, or there's a I
In a
would
lake,
tell everybody what I
hypothetically,
was doing, but I can't really do that, right? So I came up with a way to do it, and it's I just don't keep any here. What else? I try to get tool. Okay, any kind of tool you need,
See, so
anything
here's
you
a,
need.
Rafi and I are not handy. I've discussed this with Rafi. Like, I'm not a handyman, and I kind of wish I was. So one of my upcoming videos is going to be on human capital, improving yourself. So let me ask you this: if I'm starting from almost nothing, I got a power drill and I got a screwdriver, what tools do you think I need for the zombie apocalypse?
Well, I think everybody needs to know how to weld just a little bit. You know, when, if something breaks, you need to just a little cheap wire welder, man. You plug it into 220 and you can weld about anything you want. A grinder, so anything to fix the tools you have. I have a big forklift and tractor. I went ahead and got hoses for those. You know, the hoses get old and they blow. They're going to blow anyway. They're not going down in value or price, you know. So that's a simple thing. Stuff like that, filters, fuel filters, hydraulic filters, anything my welding machines need, my Kubota lawnmower needs, just go ahead and, you know, if one is none, what is it? One is none, two is one, and three is where you want to be. You know,
now so here's a question. Here's a question for you, Chris. What employment, either self-employment or for somebody else, what employment do you expect to do either in-game or post-in-game?
Employment as in...
Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah,
what do you think you're going to be doing during the zombie apocalypse?
Well, I've worked for myself. I have a trade. I've been a welder for well over 20 years. I have other skills, you know, and I was in the natural gas industry. I would take the gas from where they drilled the hole all the way through the equipment to the sales line, kind of a turnkey deal. Did hands-on type stuff. I can do about anything with my hands. It's kind of – that's I don't like electrical very much. It's kind of out of my wheelhouse.
Wish I lived closer. There,
yeah. Hey, you should check out Taylor Welding. I'll teach you how to weld over there. I'll have a welding channel that teaches people. I'm trying to teach kids how to make a living without going to an indoctrination camp and a degree in underwater basket weaving. You know, just something you can do with your hands that nobody can take away from. You
can, or worse, underwater transgender basket.
Yeah, underwater transgender basket weaving. So one thing I expect. And I think Rafi will concur with this, is that when this blows, like I said before, there's going to be an abrupt cancellation of international trade. So that means no more clothes, no more shoes, no more imported food goods. And we're going to start making that stuff here rather quickly. Now, the good news is that the prices are going to explode. So the people will be incentivized to start that process. So one of the things I was going to advise people to do is if, for the human capital video I'm working on, if you like sewing, for example, or, you know, carpentry or brewing or any of those kind of things, let's say you do it as a hobby, I would say upgrade to the next level of very low level cottage industry. So get an industrial sewing machine instead of your personal Singer. And
that's also an idea.
But the problem I'm thinking of is that, like, right now you cannot compete with somebody from Bangladesh for sewing in terms of pricing. But suddenly it's going to be the most valuable, one of the most valuable things in the world is a sewing machine no one else can get their hands on. So how would you balance that, I guess, or how should someone think about balancing that?
You know, when I went and looked at a sawmill yesterday, I'd like to have a sawmill as an addition.
You're a new level.
When I went and looked at it, it was a really nice, well-built lumber mill. They wanted $5,000 to $8,000 for it. And I was telling my father, I was like, you know, if I don't use it, it'll still be worth $5,000 to $8,000, probably from now on. So that's how I kind of look at it. If your tool or the thing, your side hustle, as long as you know you're getting a really nice machine that's going to be way more expensive in the future, you can sell it later. You know, I wouldn't go buy out a bunch of new stuff. I just restored a 1986, 85 forklift of John Deere forklift. Awesome piece of machinery. I went through the whole thing and got it up and running really good, painted it and everything. And now, you know, it's worth the equipment. Think about how expensive all that's going to be when we're completely cut off. And we're all in agreement, we will be cut off, or maybe not cut off, but our imports are going to go through the roof as our currency continues to be devalued. It just makes sense. So anything you can think of that's not going down in value, buy it.
Yeah,
you're
going
to either
back.
Use it.
Everyone's going to
you're
go
going
back.
To use it or sell it. You're going back to what? I'm sorry.
Domestic production. Everyone in the world is going back to domestic production. And it might be very localized. Like you might be, I can see very easily buying clothes from your neighbors for a little while there. The neighbor who bought the industrial sewing machine. Like you may not be going to a store. You might be going to your neighbor's house who's running a shop out of his house. For a while, these things will rebuild. I'm not saying this is our future. We're going back to the Middle Ages forever. But there's going to be a period where, you know, you need a shirt and there's a guy making it over there.
I think so too. I think there's going to be a period where it's really hard and maybe a lot of people die. And then there's going to be a period where things really look really nice. You know, like, hey, we made it and we're coming up, and then maybe that's the end. You know, thank God's coming
at
back.
At that point, maybe we can reconnect after Zoom.
Yeah.
It should be a lot better.
I am very optimistic. I think we're going back. I think we're going to go back to the liberties of Jefferson and Washington, and all this nonsense is going to go away. So let me ask you this. Maybe this is more of a question for Rafi. What do you think the unemployment rate's going to hit? You think we're going to get like 60? I was looking at the Great Depression. I think it was like 20 or 30. But that was 15 years of inflating currency. This has been close to 50. So I'm thinking 60, 70.
Well, man, that's a big question because you've got the new illegals coming over here that are from, you know, 20 million to 40 million. They've been shipping them over here across the Texas border. That's the biggest problem. Now, most all of the jobs have gone to foreign-born people over the last 2 or 3 years. So they're going to be able to manipulate the employment numbers just like they do now. And, you know, they're going to tell us how good it is forever. And then when it gets really bad, we'll never know how bad it really is, probably. And the jobs aren't going to pay like they're supposed to until later on, probably. You know, you're going to what it looks like they're doing to me is they're incentivizing the new slave. They're incentivizing opening the borders to you name it. What, 20,000 Russian citizens, nationalists, Chinese nationalists in 5 months? You know, this is unprecedented, as much as I hate that word. We've never experienced that. And now people are going to pay for cheap labor. That's just the way it is. The cheaper the labor, that's who's going to get to do the work. So it's going to make unemployment much worse and harder to watch, harder to understand, harder to keep track of.
So my answer to this question is that in a hyperinflationary depression, assuming there's no more government controls, the labor market should clear relatively quickly. I mean, the people that have absolutely no skill and can't do anything, maybe they won't be able to find a good job, and maybe they'll die. I don't know. But I don't think it's not going to be like the Great Depression where there was a consistent 25% unemployment rate because the dollar was becoming more and more valuable, and there were like these market clearing hurdles. Like, was there a minimum wage back then? No, but there were the New Deal programs that were preventing wages from clearing. The Roosevelt's New Deal programs were preventing the labor market from clearing. So that's where the unemployment came from. It wasn't from the Depression itself. It was from the efforts of the government to stop it from happening. So that I don't think that's going to be able to happen this time.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking when it blows that the unemployment rate might spike really high. But now that you say it that way, yeah, people will just start hiring each other. Like I would hire a welder for my welding needs, or, you know, especially the stackers will need to get their money out. So they'll start buying things and they'll start employing people to work on their projects. So yeah, I could see. Yeah, I think you're right.
That's the main thing, is getting people in the community to do well, because that's the only way we get out of it, is
Yeah, and
if the
that's where
good
the
people
stacking
do
comes
well.
in. So the fat, especially the silver, I think Rafi agrees with me on this one. Especially the silver needs to leave your stashes as soon as the crisis starts hitting, so that people can trade with each other. And so you should make a point to disperse your silver, either through, I mean, I would employ people, but if not, just charity or whatever, and just get it out into the system so people can trade and they don't die.
What's your ratio? Are you gonna sell it when it's 30 to 1, 15 to 1? What's
Yeah,
your
I'm
idea
gonna
when to?
start selling silver at 30 to 1, and then I'll sell more of it as it approaches 15 to 1. And when it hits 15 to 1, I'm going to minimize my silver stacks and buy what I can. And if I don't know what to buy, I'll just trade it for gold and then decide later.
Nice. Yeah, that's
That's my
the
idea.
we talk about the silver to gold ratio quite a bit. Now there's one other thing that you can kind of quantify silver is right now a laying hen is worth 1 ounce of silver. I call it the chicken to laying hen ratio.
Oh.
And so far it's keeping up. It's keeping up. It's I came up with that a while back, and as those things you go to the feed store to buy a laying hen, it's about $30.
Oh,
Pretty
cool.
interesting.
So I have like 8 ounces of silver in my backyard. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And just closing remarks, Chris, can you tell us where to find you, any services that you offer? Where should people watching this video get what you can offer them?
Absolutely. I have a YouTube channel. I have two of them. I have a financial prepper on YouTube. It's me and my wife. She sells precious metals for Miles Franklin. I encourage everybody to get the best prices. And that's why I started selling for Andy Shechtman's, because I was getting my metal there because he had the best prices. And don't take my word for it. Shop around. Get the list that she comes out with every 2 weeks and take it with you. You can text that number and you can shop around with it. I have a Taylor Welding channel on YouTube that I haven't been on in a while. That's fixing to change. And I'm trying to teach young men and women how to build stuff with their hands, how to make a living building things. We need people to build stuff, okay? And that's the two media outlets. We have a Twitter, FP Network. No, I'm sorry, that's Rumble. What is it? Financial Prepper. PPR, financial prepper, PPR on the end on Twitter. We're doing our best to get people over there. We have a Rumble as well. That's a FP Network. We're about to get kicked off of YouTube. It is, I mean, we're not long on there. So try to, if you're into Twitter and Rumble and things like that, please go there as well as YouTube, because it's getting nutty. I've been in the penalty box for a long time. And it's a shame, but that's the world we live in.
If you want to learn about thing prepping beyond just stacks, I think Chris is a great resource for anyone who's curious. I don't recommend his pancakes, despite what he says. In-game pancakes. Do I have anything to add? No.
Right. Well, it was great meeting you. I hope to speak with you again soon. Good luck in Louisiana. And when we all have fiefdoms and we're known as local lords, we should connect up again and maybe create a new international trading relationship.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I'd love to have you on the Financial Prepper YouTube channel if you're
Oh, great.
interested.
I'd love to
Both of
come
us.
on. We'll work that out.
Absolutely. Thank
Okay.
you.